Welcome to Live Your Full Life Now podcast. So we are continuing with the teaching that I started last time. And the subject of this teaching is Let's Go Face the Giant. And I think this is a perfect example of stories in the Bible of what we're going through as a nation right now. And, you know, the Bible is really just a book of instructions for us to learn from it and to know how to do our everyday life. And I think this story fits perfectly because God's people are facing giants that they cannot handle on their own. They just look so much bigger and stronger and overcoming with power that people can shrink back in fear and saying, we're powerless, there's nothing we can do. But that's not true when God is on your side. And like I said, the book of Joshua is a perfect example of that. But I did read you guys some scripture from Joshua 1 last time on this subject. But I kind of want to give you a little bit of history on how did Joshua come to this position of literally being a military commander to conquer and to overtake the land of the enemy. So remember, the Lord had promised Israelites that he will take them into the promised land. He will deliver the land into their hands. But it wasn't just like those lands were built and ready for them to walk into trouble-free. They actually had to go fight these people. They actually had to go fight nations and armies to receive those lands, but they didn't have enough manpower to do it. So Joshua has been chosen by God to be pretty much, like I said, the military commander. And he's actually known as one of the greatest military leader for leading God's people into the promised land. But Joshua was chosen by God. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9 says, I'll read you guys that verse. It says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. So he was chosen by God. Moses anointed him. He blessed him. And he knew that he's going to take his place as far as leading God's people, the Israelites at that time, into the promised land. So now, you know, how did Joshua come to that, again, position of leadership, leading an army, leading the whole nation of Israel into the promised land? He obviously had, again, chosen by God, but he had been tested and he had some experience in that field. So I want to give you guys a little bit of history of that and kind of summarize it. So we're going to go back to Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13, it says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, sent one of its leaders. So remember, there's 12 tribes of Israel. And Joshua, whose real name was Hoshea, son of Nun, was from the tribe of Ephraim. So just keep that in the back of your mind. So God told Moses, choose one leader from each tribe and send them to spy on these lands to get information, because I'm getting you guys ready to go fight and deliver these nations into your hands and their lands, you know, to give you guys their lands. So number 16, now jumping over to number 16, it says, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? So just to stop right there. So Moses has chosen these 12 people. He's like, I'm going to send you guys into these lands to know what we're going to be facing, to know what kind of challenges we're going to have. So come, go check it out as spies and come and let us know, give us the report. So we're jumping to verse 26. So the 12 spies go, they come back with a report. on verse 26, this is, we are number 16, verse 26 says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite company at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. Apparently the fruit was giant, so the soil was very fertile. But obviously they wanted to know more than just how the soil is and how the fruit is. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But The people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified with very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in Negev. So if you know some history about Amalekites, they were a race of giant people. They were like warlike people. Very tall, giant, and scary. So the verse goes on to say, the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Verse 30 says, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I'm sure you've heard the stories that Moses sent 12 spies. 10 of them came back and gave a very negative report. They pretty much just really just stated the facts. Hey, listen, this is what we're facing. They're giants. They're more than us. There's no way we can win because they're only looking at what's natural, right? At what they can see, feel, touch, what they can feel with their senses. Now, there was two leaders of the tribes, which one of them was Caleb, when the other one was excuse me, Joshua. They said no. They kind of went against what they saw, pretty much. I mean, they didn't deny the facts, but they didn't give in to defeat. So Caleb was one of them. So Caleb silenced the people, and there he's like, no, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So in the natural, it looks like, what are you talking about? Look at what they have, look how powerful they are, and look at us. What can we do to fight them? But so again, those 10 that were just looking at the physical circumstances, verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up with them said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. And again, they still talk about it. They say, we saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. So that's in the parentheses. But they're saying, again, we saw giants. They're warlike people. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So what do the other 10 say? They're again talking about the bad report, right? So what happens when we talk about the bad report? We continually repeat the negative report. We're spreading fear because look what happens next. Numbers 14, verse 14, I'm sorry, verse 1 says, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So one, bad report causes people to be in fear. Second, they're going to start complaining and nagging and blaming people, right? So now we're going to talk about Joshua. So verse 6, this is in Numbers 14, says, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So only two out of 12 came back and said, I mean, they were so passionate about this and had such a belief and faith in God that they got really upset when they heard the negative report that now was spreading fear and grumbling and complaining, which God hates, which we do a lot, right? It's kind of like almost become a habit. We just like to blame people and complain and nag. And just keep in mind that that's not pleasing to God. We're supposed to be honoring God and worshiping Him and giving Him thanksgiving in all circumstances. But anyway, that's a whole different teaching. But going back to this story, so these two are saying, no, stop. If, yes, the land is good and it's flowing with milk and honey, apparently, it's as far as the fertility of the soil, it is blessed, right? And he says, if the Lord is pleased with us, we're going to go in, we're going to fight, and we're going to win. Because they're saying, this battle, we're not fighting on our own. if God is with us, he's going to deliver them into our hands. So they're really looking at something miraculous. They're really looking at something supernatural, spiritual, that other people cannot see. So they're saying, please don't rebel against the Lord. So in other words, they're saying, have faith. And they're reiterating, don't be afraid. Because what does fear do? Fear stops people from taking action because it tells them, you on your own, you cannot accomplish this. You on your own, there's no way you can win. But if our faith is in God, and if this is God's will, again, remember, he said, if God is pleased with us, he will go with us and deliver us, you know, give us the victory over this. And then what else do they say? So they're seeing something else in the spiritual realm that other people, they don't see. They're saying that their protection is gone. Whose protection is gone? Those people who don't honor God, who don't follow God, who worship idols, you know, who are against God's principle. So Caleb and Joshua are saying, why are you afraid of them? God has taken their protection away and he's going to give us victory. So that's how they're saying it. So let's jump into Numbers 24. It says, so the whole book of Joshua is 24 chapters, and chapter 24, it kind of brings it all together. So they do have victory, and Jericho's wall fall, which we'll get into in the next teaching, as far as step by step how they go about it, because it's literally, you know, it's not just having us having faith and believing and praying and that's it. But if you have specific instructions from the Lord and taking steps, then that's how we see the victory. So Numbers 24 is where Joshua kind of gives an account of what God has done, all God's deeds, and he just praises and honors God. But he also gives people a choice. He's saying to turn your heart toward God. So I want to kind of just read you those last verses. It says, Joshua urges people to forsake their idols and remain faithful to the covenant that God made with them at Sinai, saying, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is actually a very famous saying among Christians. This is Joshua 24:15 that says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How amazing it is if the spiritual leader of a family, the father, the husband, says, as for me and my family, this is what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. I think that's very pleasing to God. But basically Joshua is giving him a choice. He's not saying, hey, you have to honor God. You have to follow him. You have to worship him. Just remember how good he's been and what he's done. He's saying, if in your eyes, it's evil to serve the Lord. And honestly, nowadays, living in a Christian country, we're being made to feel bad for honoring God and following, his commandments. It almost looks like evil. You know, the good has become bad. And the eyes of the world, if you want to follow God, we're evil and we're not good. And Joshua is saying, make your choice and choose your path. If it is evil to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you want to serve. You decide. Are you going to serve? You know, the Bible says that the enemy is the king of air that has deceived the hearts of the people. Do you want to be like everybody else and kind of join the crowd and do what's politically correct and what would benefit you, make you look good in front of other people and serve the king of air, which is the enemy, which means you're going against God and his principles, right? Or do you want to choose the God of your forefathers? Remember, Israelites, they followed, you know, in the beginning, they followed God and they honored him and they worshiped him and they followed his decrees. That's why he gave them a lot of victories in their battles. So, but he's saying, it's up to you. Who do you want to serve? You know, you're the one who are going to either reap the benefits or suffer the consequences. But then he's saying at the end, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's Joshua 24:15. So that was just a little bit of history on Joshua, how he came to this position of being a military leader, that he's not only bold, he's courageous, but he's seeing things. He has a great faith that he leads a nation into victory, coming against giants that in the natural, there was no way they could win on their own. And that's what we're facing, I believe, nowadays in our nation, that in the natural, believers and followers of God, or they may not even believers, but people who want justice, who want to receive justice as far as what's right, they, in our own, it looks like we have no power, but we can see from the Bible that we're not living on our own. We're not fighting on our own, that there's a higher power that protects us and guides and leads us into victory, and that the protection of the people who are serving the agenda of the enemy is gone. So hopefully this teaching has given you some hope about what we're going through right now as a nation, and that victory is ours, because if God is pleased with us, he's going to lead us into victory. And I believe he is pleased, because Jesus is our Savior and we are under the new covenant. So we're going to continue this teaching, because I really want you guys to know, and just maybe you know you've forgotten, but learn the whole story of how the walls of Jericho came down. And as I'm speaking this right now, today, there is a march for Jericho in Washington. So I believe this is all going down in history, but let's put our faith and our trust in a living God who loves us and who fights for us. So hang in there. We're going to continue this teaching. So until the next teaching, God be with you and God bless you.